Thanks for joining us today for our Monday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
And so, but it does speak of protection, and God is going to protect you. God is going to protect you. And so, so again, God is concerned about the preservation of his people, what he allows into their lives so they could be that aroma, that fragrance. But if you're communing at the table, if you're constantly in the Word of God, if you're submitting yourself to what God wants for you and things like that, you can know that what this day brings your way has been ordained by God, that he's allowed it to happen because you have been raised up for such a time as this. Could be a personal difficulty. It could be some medical thing that you're going through. It could be some tragedy in the way of losing a job or losing a loved one or whatever. But if you're walking and you're at that communion table, God is with you. And you were created for such a time as that so you could show the joy of your salvation even in the most difficult situation. Verse 26 says, "And you shall make for it four rings of gold. Put the rings on the four corners that are its four legs. The rings shall be close to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood. Overlay them with gold that the table may be carried with them." They carry the table of showbread. Does not touch the ground. It represents that they are pilgrims, that they are sojourners in the land that is not their home until they get to the promised land. And so where the ark stopped, that is where they will be. Wherever God leads, they are not home yet, but wherever he leads, he's going to carry you to that place where you'll eventually be home and it could rest once and for all. That speaks of us. We are pilgrims. We are strangers. We are sojourners. We are foreigners. We are aliens in this land. Peter would say in 1 Peter 1:1, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia." Peter calls them pilgrims, which means resident aliens or strangers or foreigners. It's interesting that Paul would tell us in Philippians 3:20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." This is not our home. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. This isn't my home. I'm not of this world. I'm in it. I'm in it for a reason. There's purpose and meaning to be a light and a witness to others, to be that aroma, that fragrance, that light for other people to see. My life has tremendous purpose and meaning because when you see your life in the person of Jesus and what Jesus has done for you, it makes you want to go, what can I now do for you? Well, you can be a light and a witness, and you can show the joy of your salvation and your gratitude of heart for what I've done for you by being that light, no matter what the circumstances come upon you in your lifetime. Knowing that this is not your home, that your home is still a little further out. And what an amazing home it's going to be because I go to prepare a place for you. And so God has been preparing a place for you. Jesus himself, "I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, you will also go. In my Father's house are many mansions or rooms." And so there's this amazing mansion room that is waiting for every single one of us. And when we get there, we're going, man, my attitude on earth, oh man, had I only known. Well, you do know. Yeah, but I didn't know it was going to be like this. Well, you should know it's going to kind of be like this because I'm God and I have this wow factor about me. And I'm going to make it a whole lot nicer than you can even imagine. So imagine the nicest thing that you could possibly inhabit. Way better. And if you know you're heading that way, yes, there are difficulties here, but that should carry you through the day, knowing that you're being a light and a witness, and this is not your home. And it should be seen by others. And because you have that attitude, people should look at it and go, that's weird. That's strange. Yeah, and that's exactly what Peter says in 1 Peter 4:1. He says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. If Jesus suffered in the flesh with the situations and personally to his flesh and everything else, we need to have the same mindset. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That doesn't mean that you don't sin. What it means is that you're so preoccupied with what the Lord is doing, okay? You're not going to have time for the things of the world. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh, sinning by the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. Have we not? Just look at your life right now. Look at everything that's led up to it. Have we not wasted enough time with the things of the world? With the things of the Gentiles? And then he lists them. In lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. In regards to these, they think it's strange you do not run with them. They think it's strange you don't participate with them anymore in those things that they did. They think it's strange you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation with the same excitement. And now they speak evil of you. When you come to Christ, it's because you were going this way, things of the world, the ways of the world. You come to Christ, you realize all that he's done for you, that there is a God, that he died for you, that he loves you, and he wants to walk with you, and he wants to change you and make you Christ-like. You realize going this way doesn't promote that anymore. So now you do. You repent. And now it's a different way. And they're running that way. You go, hey, how come you're not with us anymore? That guy's so weird. They think it's strange. And the reason why they think it's strange is because you're a stranger in this world. And they should think it's strange. They think it's strange that you come here to actually hear the word of God, have the word of God spoken to you, taught to you, to sing worship and praise to God. They think it's weird that you're here right now. They think it's weird when you go to a Bible study at 6 a.m. on Tuesday morning for the men. They think it's weird when you go to other things, a baptism. Well, why would you do that? Why are you going to that? They think it's weird. You go to Bible study? You study the Bible. You go to a community group and you just discuss what you were taught on Sunday? Really? Look at all these times that you do things with this church. It's so weird. Why would you do that? We're going to happy hour. Why don't you join us? Well, because I have Bible study. What? How cool is that? You're working somewhere. And they say, hey, you want to go to happy hour? I go, no, I got women's Bible study going to tonight. What? I'm going to a community group. What? I'm going to the church because what? It's strange to them. It's strange to them. Let's go over here to Hebrews chapter 11. One of my favorite areas is the Hall of Faith here, and we're just going to be able to read a little bit about Abraham here. In verse 8, it said, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. You got to leave Ur. Cross over the river Euphrates and go into this land that you know nothing about. And he went out. Not knowing where he was going. Okay. Where am I going to land? He wasn't told that. Just cross over the river. I'll let you know as you're going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country. He was promised from him would come a mighty nation and nations in plural. He never saw that happen. Matter of fact, he wandered for a while, kind of going, you know, he promised me a descendant. It really hasn't happened yet. And then they had the whole Hagar thing, trying to help God with his promise. He goes, no, that's not it. It's still coming. What? I'm getting older. By the time it comes, he's 100. You know. And so He dwelt in the land of promise in a foreign country. Even though he's there in the promised land that is promised to him and his descendants, he's still the outsider. He's still the stranger, because that doesn't become a nation for him to dwell in. Okay, that comes later. He has to dwell in tents with Isaac and Jacob. They also receive the same promise, heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited. Abraham waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, and yet he never saw it in his lifetime. By faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed. Let's not forget about her. It also took a lot of faith on her part to be in her 90s when all of a sudden she conceives. And so she bore a child, and when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, Abraham, were born many as the stars of the sky, and the multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore, the Jewish nation. But he never saw that. These all died in faith. They all believed it would happen, but they never saw it happen. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I can't see heaven. I don't. Like I said, I don't know what my inheritance is going to be. I know that I have an inheritance. God's word tells me that we have an inheritance that's incorruptible. Nobody can take it away. I have no idea what the rewards are going to be on the other side of heaven. I have no idea what it's going to be like in heaven, but I believe in those promises. I believe that the Lord himself is going to set up his kingdom here on earth. I haven't seen that. I believe it, though. I embrace that promise, knowing that we as believers get to reign with him as kings and priests. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I know it's been promised to all those who put their faith in Jesus. And so I believe in them. I embrace them because I too am a stranger and a pilgrim here on this earth. Verse 14, for those who say such things declare plainly they seek a homeland. I do too. I love my house. I'm so blessed. I never even thought I would ever be able to own a home. But I love my house. But I don't love having to pay for the upkeep. What do you mean I got to paint it again? You know? What do you mean I have to get a new water heater? What do you mean I have to get this? What do you mean I have to do this? What do you mean I have to... Why is the foundation, you know, why is some of the cracks in the driveway? What does that cost? A lot. And so I love my home, but there's a lot of things I don't like of why it doesn't stay brand new. And I have to do that, you know. I mean, I have to get a new refrigerator. There's nothing fun about getting a new refrigerator. Nothing fun about getting a new dishwasher. Nothing fun of having to get a washer and dryer. There's nothing fun about that. You know, there's other things that are more fun to be able to do around the house and be able to go on vacation with that money. There's nothing fun about those kind of things. But I have a homeland to be looking forward to, just like Abraham did. They seek a homeland. I do as well. Wherever we're going, whatever mansion is given to us and things like that, it's never going to get rusty. It's never going to need new paint. It's going to be absolutely amazing. And it says, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Because they walked in the promises of God, it says right here that God was not ashamed to be called their God. Interesting. Very interesting. Just after the turn of the century, pioneer missionary Henry C. Morrison was returning to New York after 40 years in Africa. That same boat also had President Theodore Roosevelt. As they entered New York Harbor, the president was greeted with huge fanfare, huge celebration. Morrison felt rather dejected. After all, he had spent 40 years in the Lord's service. But then the Lord spoke to Morrison, saying, Henry, you're not home yet. I love that. There's a greater city than New York City.
Believe me.
And it's prepared for Henry Morris. It's called heaven. And he says, you see the fanfare that Roosevelt is getting? Way better where you're headed. Way better. Those of you who have lost loved ones, understand when they entered into heaven, when Joey entered into heaven, the fanfare, the celebration. Dropping the ball in New York's in Times Square, nothing compares to walking into heaven and seeing that celebration because you are home. Amen. You can get a little Pentecostal. I love that. Amen. Let's do that. 2025, the year of us becoming a little bit more Pentecostal. Amen. There we go. That's what I'm saying. So Abraham sought a homeland, a city whose builder and maker is God. There we go. All right. And so he pressed on, choosing not to believe what he saw, but understanding what those promises are. And so it's the same thing with us, that if we continue to move forward in the promises of God, of knowing what God has promised us, he too will not be ashamed by us to be called their God. Because you believe God's word, you've accepted his son, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. Because you believe God's word and you live as a witness for Jesus. Because you believe God's word and pray for those who persecute you. Because you believe God's word and love your wife as Christ loved the church. Because you believe God's word and you respect your husbands. Because you believe God's word and you give to God's purposes. Because you believe God's word, you visit the sick, you visit those in prison, you feed the hungry, you use your talents and gifts for the kingdom of God. And because of that, God is not ashamed to be called your God either. This is what is before us in 2025. We can do this. Christians have standards. They have values different from those in the world. Our standard and values should reflect who we belong to and where we are going. We belong to God. Our home is heaven. Just as when we see and talk to a person of a foreign country, you can tell right away they speak differently. Wow. You know, you see that. But once they're here, over time, sometimes they begin to assimilate. And now they begin to sound like you. We are not to assimilate and be of this world. And so our speech should be different. I encourage you to Google this. I want you to Google Ray Comfort and the Golden Globes. And then he'll show a little snippet of the Golden Globes and how they mock God and the way they have to bleep out her language, the person that hosted it. It's interesting to me that after the Golden Globes, 48 hours later is when the fires of LA began. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, he will reap. And Hollywood has mocked God for a long time. Dave, are you saying this is the judgment of God? I don't know how God judges and when he judges and when he chooses not to judge, things like that. But I find it very interesting that after such a mockery of God, that this happened 48 hours later. And I'm here to say pray that the winds die down. Pray that the fires go out. I'm not praying for further judgment. I'm praying that maybe the judgment is over and that the people have maybe during this will now look up to the Lord, that they be open to receive the Lord. There have been 16 people that have died so far. I pray that there'll be no more loss of life. I don't want any more judgment to happen if this is indeed a judgment of God. I want the fires to die down. I want the wind to die down. These are Santa Ana winds that usually come in September, October. You hear it all the time that California has two seasons. They have sun and then they have fire season. You know, what happens usually is that fire season is usually September, October because of these winds, okay? And then after that usually come the rains and then comes what? Mud. Mudslides. That's the other season, okay? But the Santa Ana winds don't usually come in December and January specifically, Okay, remember when the area of Boulder, about 3 years ago, it was in December, that all of a sudden we had these hurricane winds about 80 mile an hour, and there was a spark, and all of a sudden a fire hit, and we hadn't gotten any snow for weeks before that, and everything was dry, and because of those winds, that's what made that fire just kind of like, you know, go crazy and everything. Well, that's happening at a scale of 10,000% in L.A. They need our prayers. They need our prayers. So be praying for them, okay? Be praying for them. We have certain values. We know that this is not our home, that heaven is truly our home. And so because of that, we should be living differently. They should see it in our speech. We don't blaspheme. We shouldn't cuss. No uncorrupt communication should come out of our mouth. We should not be there to say dirty jokes or to laugh at them. There should be a difference. There should be a difference. And so we don't want to assimilate to what is around us. Another thing that I see here is that when it comes to going back here to Exodus, and we'll close with this, is the fact that it says here, in Exodus 25, verse 29, you shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold. Well, those are the vessels or the instruments that serve at the table. I would submit to you that that speaks of us, that we are vessels of the Lord. We read about that in Acts 9:15, that when the Lord is speaking to Ananias about Saul on the Damascus Road, and now he's in a place and he's blinded, he tells Ananias, I want you to go and lay hands on him. And Ananias is going, I'll lay hands on him. He's kind of like, no, to pray over him, that the scales would drop, he'd be able to see again, you know. And he says, but he's been the most horrible person towards the church. It doesn't matter. God says, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, before kings, and before the children of Israel. He's a chosen vessel. In 1 Thessalonians 4:4, speaking again, Paul speaking of us in sanctification, he says, for each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor to God. In 2 Timothy 2:21, cleanse yourself to be a vessel for honor. So we are vessels of the Lord. And we need to place ourselves before the altar all the time, saying, Lord, cleanse me, change me. And can I ask you to do this for 2025? This absolutely changed my life close to about 20 years ago. I began to ask the Lord this, Lord, let me see people the way you see people. Lord, let me love people the way you love people. I believe that I probably pray this close to once a week, maybe several times during the week. And what that does, it reminds me of who I am in Christ. And it doesn't matter how poorly the other person is around me. I'm there to see him like Jesus sees him. I'm there to love them like the Lord loves them. And it'll give you a great empathy for people because you want to be like Jesus. And you shall set the showbread of the table before me always. That bread speaks of us that believe in Jesus. That bread speaks of communion. You want to be in front of the Lord. You want to be feasting on the Word. You want to be at that table of communion where you have that intimacy with God that comes through being in His Word and by being in prayer before Him and having that special time every day where you're just meeting with Him. That's a communion table that you're invited, so long as you first receive the mercy seat of what Jesus did on the cross. Amen? Let's pray.
Well, that wraps up this Monday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Be sure to join us tomorrow as we dive deeper into our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Child care is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.